Okay, we will start by chanting Jai Radha Madhava. Right. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Malabar Kiri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Malabar Kiri Varadhari. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Manachari. Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balabha Kiri Badhari. Gopi Jana Malabha Kiri Badhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad. Paramahansa Parvatikacharya also Tello Satishi Shimad. His Divine Grace Savaya Chatanada Bhaktivananda Goswami. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Siddhvaita Gadata. Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna. Govika Pada Sayam Kun Radha Kunda. Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Ki Jai. Maturam Ki Jai. Jagadatha Swami Ki Jai. Yamunamai Ki Jai. Shrimati Dulasi Devi Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Om. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda. So Omagana Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we are continuing with our study of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and we are on the seventh chapter. We only did two verses yesterday. Wow. The seventh chapter is full of important verses. So now we are on, this number of the verses, 16. And this is another important verse. Remember how yesterday we discussed the four types of people who don't approach Krishna. Chaturvita. So, Namam Duskritina Muda Prabhajante Naradamai, Mayaya Pratigyanam Sudam Bhavam Ashuta. Four types of people who don't approach Krishna are those who are mudhas, like asses. Namam Duskritina Muda, lowest of mankind, those whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, in other words, puffed up with their material knowledge, and those who are actually out and out atheists. So today we're going to talk about the four types of people who do approach Krishna. And these are not pure devotees. These are people who approach Krishna for some ulterior motive, another personal motive. They're not at the platform of purity, but this gives us some hint of why, or the motivation, why people approach Krishna. Interesting. So, Chaturvidha Bhajanti Mam Jana Sukritina Arjuna Artho Dhyasur Artarti Jnani Cha Bharatarshava. So, Chaturvidha, four kinds of Bhajante, render services, mam unto me, janaha, persons, su, kritanaha. Those who are pious, Arjuna, O Arjuna, arta, the distressed, yasuhu, the inquisitive, art, arti, one who desires material gain, jnani, one who knows things as they are, and cha, also, bharata, vishabha, O great one amongst the descendants of bharata. So translation, O best among the Bhartas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. The distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Purport. Unlike the miscreants, that's the previous verse, these are adherents of the regulative principles of the scriptures, and they are called sukritanaha, or those who obey the rules and regulations of scriptures, the moral and social laws, and are more or less devoted to the Supreme Lord. Out of these, there are four classes of men, those who are sometimes distressed, those who are in need of money, those who are sometimes inquisitive, and those who are sometimes searching after knowledge of the Absolute Truth. These persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service under different conditions. These are not pure devotees because they have some aspiration to fulfill in exchange for devotional service. Pure devotional service is without any aspiration and without desire for material profit. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11 defines pure devotion thus. Anyabhilashita shunyam yana karmar danavratam. Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktirutamam. And this is also quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, modulated 19th chapter, text 167. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profiting or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. It's a very interesting verse. It's actually the nutshell verse of the Nectar Devotion or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And so what this basically means is that one must be devoid. I'm giving a different translation. Actually, it's the same translation, just paraphrasing it. One must be completely devoid of any desire for gross satisfaction or subtle satisfaction or liberation to be a pure devotee, and be ready to serve Krishna in the way that he wants and be active at it and be devoted when you do it. That's the definition of what it means to be a pure devotee. Devoid of all the dirt stuff, and on the positive side, doing what Krishna wants actively, enthusiastically, actively means enthusiastically, and doing it with a sense of love, trying to please Krishna. So Prabhupada's translation is, One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. When these four kinds of persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service and are completely purified by the association of a pure devotee, they also become pure devotees. As far as the miscreants are concerned, for them, devotional service is very difficult because their lives are selfish, irregular, and without spiritual goals. Those are the four types of people that we referred to in the previous verse. But even some of them, by chance, when they come in contact with a pure devotee, also become pure devotees. A typical example is Magrari the hunter. Magrari the hunter was basically Naradama, lowest of mankind. Also, he was a mudha, like an ass. He wasn't a Surumbhavamashrita, and he wasn't Maya Pratigyana. He wasn't an atheist because he never even thought about it, and he didn't even think about being intelligent. Yet, when he came in contact with Narada Muni, even though he was half-killing, torturing animals, doing the most nefarious activities, he actually gave it all up and became a pure devotee. Of course, he had to be warned by Narada Muni about his impending suffering in his future life. What was his impending suffering? His impending suffering was that he was going to have to take a birth for every animal he tortured and be tortured in the same way. Those who are always busy with fruitive activities come to the Lord in material distress, and at that time associate with pure devotees and become, in their distress, devotees of the Lord. So sometimes even Krishna puts people in distress that they will come to him. Those who are simply frustrated also come sometimes to associate with the pure devotees and become inquisitive to know about God. Similarly, when the dry philosophers are frustrated in every field of knowledge, they sometimes want to learn of God, and they come to the Supreme Lord to render devotional service and thus transcend knowledge of the impersonal Brahman and the localized Paramatma and come to the personal conception of Godhead by the grace of the Supreme Lord or his pure devotee. On the whole, when the distressed, the inquisitive, the seekers of knowledge, and those who are in need of money are free from all material desires, and when they fully understand that material remuneration has nothing to do with spiritual improvement, they become pure devotees. As long as such a purified stage is not attained, devotees in transcendental service to the Lord are tainted with fruitive activities, the search for mundane knowledge, etc. So one has to transcend all this before one can come to the stage of pure devotional service. Let me give an example of someone who had sort of all material desires and he came to the stage of pure devotional service. The typical example we always give in this regard is that of Dhruva Maharaj. So once upon a time, there was this little boy named Dhruva. He was actually a prince, which means son of a king. His father's name was Uttanapada. And as a young boy, he wanted to sit on his father's lap. However, his father had two wives. That's a problem. So one wife's name was Suniti, the other one was Saruchi. So it's interesting the name Suniti. Niti means like rules and regulations, one who is fixed or dharmic, basically, Suniti. And Suruchi would mean someone who's, well, Suruchi means good taste. Someone who's more attractive, let's say. So Dhruva was the son of Suniti, the one who is simply dharmic or religious or whatever you may call it like that. And he wasn't the son of Suruchi, the gorgeous wife, okay, the one who attracted the king much more. So anyway, the one who had the king twisted around her little finger. So then what happened is that Dhruva wanted to sit on his father's lap, and Suruchi, the stepmother. Many times we hear stories of a wicked stepmother. The stepmother said, no, get off his lap. The only way you could sit on his lap is if you were my son. And you should pray to become my son at a future birth. maybe Lord Vishnu will grant it to you. So Dhruva, this little boy, became very upset. And then he went to his mother, Suniti. And he said to his mother, explained to her what had happened. And she said, yes, the only way it's going to happen is if you take birth as her son. Oh, my God. And Lord Vishnu is the only one who can solve your problems. So he was so determined, he went to the woods to look for Lord Vishnu. And when he went to the woods to look for Lord Vishnu, guess what happened? He met Narada Muni. Narada Muni, the great sage, devotee of Lord Vishnu, Krishna, said, go back home, little boy. This is not the appropriate time to execute austerities. Maybe when you get old, you can do this. So Dhruva, he said, no, Guru Maharaj, I'm determined. And Narada Muni was so impressed with his determination. He said, okay, chant this mantra, and you will achieve success. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Dhruva went, executed austerities, and to tell a long story in a short way, gradually he reduced everything. He was eating maybe once a month, and then he gave up that, breathing maybe once a month, and then he gave up that, and he became such an attractive force, and basically was creating sort of disturbance in the universe because he was executing all these austerities. Lord Vishnu came down, and he said, and actually his intention, getting back to the point, Dhruva's intention was not to take birth as a stepmother's son. His intention was to have a greater kingdom than even Lord Brahma, I mean, bigger than the universe. So then Lord Vishnu came down, and he said, all right, what do you want? And Dhruva Maharaj was so, let's say, purified at that particular point that he said, I was looking for some pieces of broken glass, and now I have found a very valuable gem. And he became a pure devotee. And he gave up that desire, although he did get his own planet, Dhruva Loka. So Krishna gave him the fruit of his desire, although he didn't have that desire anymore. And so that shows, or that's one story that illustrates the point, that even if one comes to Krishna for some ulterior purpose, as we find in the Bhagavatam, akama, mokshakama, akama, sabhagala, mokshakama, daridhi, vrena, bhakti, yogena, usham, param, that one should worship Krishna. Whatever reason one comes to Krishna for, whether it's to be free of material desires, full of material desires, or even desirous of mukti, one should be very enthusiastic in their service to Krishna. Yalakama, sarvakama, mokshakama, daradi, tivrena bhakti yogena, yajeta purusham param. So text 17. Tesham jnani nitya yukta eka bhaktir vishishyate priyo hi jnani no jatam aham sachama ma priha. Tesham, out of them, jnani, one in full knowledge, nitya yukta, always engaged, eka only, bhaktihi, in devotional service, vishishyate is special, priya, very dear, he certainly, jnani naha, to the person in knowledge, atyartam, highly, aham, I am, sahi, cha also, mama, to me, priyaha, dear. Of these, the one who is in full knowledge and who is always engaged in pure devotional service is the best. For I am very dear to him, and he is dear to me. So Prabhupada explains here in the purport, free from all contamination of material desires, the distressed, the inquisitive, the penniless, and the seeker after supreme knowledge can all become pure devotees. But out of them, he who is in knowledge of the absolute truth and free from all material desires becomes a really pure devotee of the Lord. In other words, one has to come to Krishna and attain knowledge. So that type of knowledge is called sambandha jnana, avideya jnana, and prayojana jnana. So one who comes to Krishna and doesn't have that knowledge, although knowledge is not a necessary prerequisite for pure devotional service, Knowledge is important to help one remain fixed in devotional service. Why is it important to help one remain fixed in devotional service? Because there will be so many tests or speed bumps on the path of devotional service, and one has to have the philosophical conviction to sort of overcome the mental ups and downs that may occur just by being in this material world. So, and of the four orders, the devotee who is in full knowledge and at the same time engaged in devotional service is, the Lord says, the best. By searching after knowledge, one realizes that his self is different from his material body, and when further advanced, he comes to the knowledge of impersonal Brahman and Paramatma. When one is fully purified, he realizes that his constitutional position is to be the eternal servant of God. So by association with pure devotees, the inquisitive, the distressed, the seeker after material amelioration, and the man in knowledge all become themselves pure. But in the preparatory stage, the man who is in full knowledge of the Supreme Lord and is at the same time executing devotional service is very dear to the Lord. In other words, you need the knowledge to keep your mind under control. In other words, it's the intelligence, again, same example we used before, the intelligence controlling the mind controlling the senses. Senses of the horses, remember that metaphor? Senses of the horses, the mind of the reins, intelligence is the driver. The full chariot is the body, and the passenger is us, the soul. He who is situated in pure knowledge of the transcendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so protected in devotional service that material contamination cannot touch him. In other words, let's refer to a verse in the Upadeshamrita. Vacho vegam manasakrota vegam, jiva vegam udrapashta vegam. He's able to tolerate the pushings of the different senses, including the mind, manakshastani indriyani, prakriti stani karshati, because he has that knowledge. He can discriminate when to react, what to accept, what not to accept, on the basis of his firm determination and knowledge. But the others are on the mental platform. For example, let's take the four types of people who approach Krishna. Chaturvidhapajantimam. So one approaches Krishna because they're inquisitive. Okay, let's take that first one. Inquisitive means curious. Hey, what's it all about? They come to Krishna consciousness and they find out, hey, it's real interesting, you know, you're not Devani. Then they look, oh, this is deity worship, prasanna, very interesting. And so when their interest or their curiosity is satiated, satisfied, then there's no more impetus unless they grab onto something higher. But they're not yet frustrated with the material world. They're just curious. Investigate. And sometimes they're curious investigating, they get purified in that process of curiously investigating, and they do come up to a higher level sometimes. But sometimes they're just like, well, it was interesting, well, lasted something new, you know, new experience. And then they go away. And so the other ones, so one is looking for knowledge, one is in distress. Oh, so much distress in this world. I can't get enough to eat. I have no friends. Whatever. And they come and their distress goes away. But, you know, they don't really want God or want self-realization. They just want to get rid of distress. Then they go away. And the last one that goes away is basically the one looking for wealth. They come and they understand you worship God. He's the most wealthy, and you get things from him. So they worship God, or they come to the movement, and they get wealth. And you see that sometimes in third world countries. I mean, generally in America, people don't come to the movement because they want wealth. I mean, they don't join the movement. They may come up to the devotees and say, we'll pay you for your blessings. You know, bless me, my business will be successful. I mean, sometimes people come to the temple and ask me to bless their new car, or ask me to bless their business, whatever, you know, business blessings, car blessings, wife blessings, you know. Or even we mentioned a funny story. One time we were in Mexico and we did a fire sacrifice. Some people put their gold in the fire and said this is for the blessings of the fire, although I thought that they were giving the gold as a donation. So then they go away. I didn't see those people again. So those three types of people, you know, the inquisitive, or those in distress, or those who want wealth, unless they actually change their motivation, they don't stick to it. And changing the motivation happens in many cases, but in some cases, it just doesn't happen. But one who's looking for knowledge, his goal is actually to achieve the highest knowledge. And then he gets the knowledge and is a tato brahmic yasha. Now's the time to look for the absolute truth. Generally, they're more likely to continue. So we see that. We see that all the time. Those who are looking for knowledge. And actually, on the other hand, we have people who come to Krishna consciousness because they've been Krishna conscious in their past lives, and they're just missing Krishna. You know, they're just looking for Krishna. They don't know they're looking for Krishna, but they're looking for Krishna. So those, that final type of person is not mentioned in the previous verse. Previous verses. So, udara sarva hivaite jani tvat maiva me matam astitasa hi yuktatma mamivanu tamam gatim udaraha magnanimous sare all eva certainly ate this yani, one who is in knowledge too, but atma eva, just like myself, may my matam opinion astitaha situated saha hi. He certainly, yukta atma, engaged in devotional service, mam, in me, eva certainly, anuttamam, the highest, katim, destination. All these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls, but he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged in my transcendental service, he is sure to attain me, the highest and most perfect goal. So this means basically the same thing. One who has his intelligence, his goal fixed, and he's able to identify what is illusion, what is Krishna, that person will most likely remain fixed. I mean, there's problems the person may have too, but in most cases, that person will remain fixed because their motivation is to attain Krishna. So, purport. It is not that devotees who are less complete in knowledge are not dear to the Lord. The Lord says that all are magnanimous because anyone who comes to the Lord for any purpose is called a mahatma, or a great soul. The devotees who want some benefit out of devotional service are accepted by the Lord because there is an exchange of affection. Out of affection, they ask the Lord for some material benefit, and when they get it, they become so satisfied they also advance in devotional service. But the devotee in full knowledge is considered to be very dear to the Lord because his only purpose is to serve the Supreme Lord with love and devotion. In other words, his goal is Krishna consciousness. I want to be a pure devotee. Not I want to enjoy. Not I want to be freed from distress. Not I want Krishna to give me some wealth. But sometimes, you know, you got to dangle something in front of devotees, you know, like come to Krishna consciousness and you eat very nicely, which is true. And many people join because of the taste of prasadam. That is a fact. The prophet said we are sometimes called kitchen religion. But if you are staying because of the taste of prasadam, then after 10 years, I think you got some problems there. I mean, you could still like the taste of prasadam, but if you haven't, like, gone to the point of wanting to please Krishna, wanting to please the spiritual master, then there's instability at that point. If you still think, I am the enjoyer in Krishna consciousness, you haven't really integrated the real point, which is that Krishna is the enjoyer. As we read in the fifth chapter of Bhaktaram Sarva Loka Maheshram Suradam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatvam Shanti Mrishati. Bhaktivam Jagatapasam Sarvalokamaheshram Suradam Sarvabhutanam Gedvamam Shanti Mrichati. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is very fond of his devotee and cannot be separated from him. Here's a beautiful verse from the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, ninth canto, fourth chapter, text 68. The Lord says, Sadavo Riyam Mayam, Sadunam Riyam Tuham, Madanyatena Jana Ti Naham Tebyo Managapi. The devotees are always in my heart, and I'm always in the hearts of my devotees. The devotee does not know anything beyond me, and I also cannot forget the devotee. There's a very intimate relationship between me and the pure devotees. Pure devotees in full knowledge are never out of spiritual touch, and therefore they are very much dear to me. In other words, let me go over this verse again. It's quite a beautiful verse. The sadhus, that's a sadhavo, sadhu means devotee. Riddhiyam, mayam. So sadhavo riddhiyam mayam, sadhunam riddhiyam tuham. That I am in the heart of the sadhus and sadhus are in my heart. Basically, that's what it says. Madanyat, other than me, te najanati, they don't know anything other than me. Naham, I, not I, tevyo managapi, and the same thing with me. I don't know anything other than them. Very nice. Such a nice reciprocal relationship. Of course, that's also brought out in the fourth chapter of the Gita, Yayatamam Prapajante Tamsatariva Vajamiham. I am reciprocating with the devotees. As I approach, they approach me, I approach them. So if someone is simply focused on Krishna, doesn't know anything else but pleasing Krishna and Krishna's pure devotees, then that's all Krishna just knows to please them. Another important verse here, and this is really a significant verse, one which we've been talking about last few days with some people outside of the class. Mohanam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapajate vasudeva sarvamiti sahamahatma sudurlabaha. Mohanam, many, janmanam, repeated births and deaths, ante, after, gyanavan, one who is in full knowledge, mam, unto me, prapajate, surrenders vasudevaha. The personality of Godhead Krishna, sarvam, everything, iti thus, saha, that, maha atma, great soul, sudurlabha, very rare to see. Translation, after many births and deaths, he was actually in knowledge, surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Now, why have we been discussing this with devotees recently? Because a devotee questioned me, you know, how do you not get discouraged when people come and people go? Or you work so hard in trying to bring someone to the absolute truth, to Krishna, and then people may not stick or people may go. And my explanation is, first of all, it's very blissful to bring people to Krishna. We don't have a right to the results of our activities. That would be fruitive devotional service. And secondly, that we see that in the many people's cases, devotional service is a multi-life endeavor, as we've read previously. Svapam apyasha dharma shatrayate mahatobayat, that in this endeavor there is no loss of diminution. So for many people, this is their first contact with Krishna consciousness. And they're making as much advancement as they're going to make in this lifetime. And then you started them on the path, or you've helped them along on the path, and next lifetime more, and next lifetime more. However, if one decides to stick with the path their whole life, and Prabhupada is guaranteed that they will go back to Godhead. But it's very difficult for many people, because to stick with the path of spiritual life for 80 years, 90 years, you know, some people joined at 20, because I joined at about that time. And now I'm 70, so it's like 50 years. And I've stuck to the path. But we've seen it's not easy for everyone to have that determination, because so many things happen in one's life, so many responsibilities, changes of situations happen, changes of health, changes of location, changes in the country, changes in the economy. I mean, I can't imagine all these things that may occur. It's hard for someone to predict how they're going to feel when they're 20 or 30 years older than they are now. So the point is, we're happy just to get people started. It's very satisfying, and people can continue that. It's even more satisfying. People continue their whole lives. It's even more satisfying. So we don't get discouraged. We're actually carrying out Krishna's plan, because everyone has free will anyway. I gave the example that when I first started accepting disciples, I thought, well, make everybody pure devotees in 15 minutes or less. Not quite that. That would be ridiculous. And but that's thinking that I am the doer, because everyone has free will. Prabhupada said one time, don't be surprised at who leaves, be surprised at how many people who stay. And you see that, you know, it may take many lifetimes. Not necessarily. You can do it in this lifetime. All you got to do is stay fixed in the rounds and the principles throughout your life and be faithful to Prabhupada's mission. It's easy. So when they say, that's easy for you to say, but it's actually quite easy. So, and actually I was also explaining to a devotee, it was an interesting discussion. The devotee was asking, what do we do if we just have all these different, what we call anarthas, and get discouraged? And I say, if someone said to me, you know, after 20, 30 years of the movement, wow, I'm still the same old. Well, you know, I made some progress, but still the same old, same old. So that was the question the person asked. And I said, however, Krishna is seeing that you're actually doing the austerity and you're remaining loyal through all those years. I mean, this is what Krishna values. Krishna doesn't value just simply some show, outward motive show, but Krishna values the loyalty year after year, the dependability that one shows through bad times and good times. You know, it's the first lesson in the Bhagavad Gita. Matra sparsha stukante asitoshna sukadu gama apayana nichasatam satiksha shaparata. One should tolerate happiness, distress, pleasure, and pain. But why should one tolerate? To please Krishna. Another verse, tate no kampam sushimiksamana punjanabhadma kritam vipakam ribhag vapurvir vidadam namaste jivete yo mukti padaya sadayabhak. That one should tolerate whatever happens and see that actually maybe I was meant to suffer a lot more than I'm suffering right now, and I'm just getting a token. And then go on serving Krishna with one's heart, body, mind, and words. So, you know, this is really the point. So, one can make it just by being loyal. It's interesting. Just by being loyal. You don't have to be spectacular. You don't have to be effulgent. You don't have to have like 20 lumens or 2,000 lumens or 2 million lumens of a luminosity. You just have to be loyal, and then everything is taken care of at that point. It's really interesting. I was explaining that to the person. Loyalty is very important. So purport by Prabhupada. The living entity, while executing devotional service or transcendental rituals after many, many births, it's a long time to be born again and again and again, may actually become situated in transcendental pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Situated in transcendental, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of spiritual realization. In the beginning of spiritual realization, while one is trying to give up one's attachment to materialism, there is some leaning towards impersonalism. Yeah, the whole material world is miserable, just give it up, give up being a person. But when one is further advanced, he can understand that there are activities in spiritual life and that these activities constitute devotional service. Realizing this, he becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrenders to him. At such a time, one can understand that Lord Sri Krishna's mercy is everything, that he is the cause of all causes, and that this material manifestation is not independent from him. He realizes the material world to be a perverted reflection of spiritual variegatedness, and realizes that in everything there is a relationship with the Supreme Lord. That's a really heavy statement. In other words, the material world is a replica of the spiritual world. A replica of the spiritual world, like a model, or like the reflection, but it's not the real spiritual world. So you can understand somewhat of the spiritual world and the relationships in the spiritual world by seeing the material world, and realizes that everything, even in this world, is related to Krishna. Thus he thinks of everything in relationship to Vasudev or Sri Krishna. Vasudev, of course, sometimes can indicate the son of Vasudev. So the word Vasudev, Vasudev. Vasudev was Krishna's father when Krishna appeared on this earth planet. And Vasudev is Krishna. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlava. Such a universal vision of Vasudev precipitates one's full surrender to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, as the highest goal. Wow. I don't know if any of you know what that word precipitate means. Precipitate means, just like you, if you have some mixture in water or some other liquid, some sort of suspension or chemical or whatever it is, and you just add a little bit to it, and precipitation means that that chemical now separates immediately. It's just like a miracle when you study chemistry class. I saw this happen. So in other words, the universal vision, so seeing Krishna everywhere, everything Krishna's energy, actually just like facilitates or pushes one to the point where one says, wow, I surrender to Krishna. It's the highest goal. Such surrendered souls are very rare. This verse is nicely explained in the third chapter, verses 14 and 15 of the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Sahasra Shirsha Purusha Sahasraksha Sahasrapat Savum Bhim Vishvato Vritti Da Jaktishta Dashangulam Purushaya Vedam Sarvam Yad Bhutam Yatcha Vavyam Ahutam Ritat Vasye Shano Yadane Nati Rohati. In the Chandogya Upanishad 5:1-15, it is said, Vivayavacho na chakshumsi na shrotrani na mam shichyakshate prana iti eva chakshate prano yevetani sarvani bhavanti. In the body of a living being, neither the power to speak, nor the power to see, nor the power to hear, nor the power to think is the prime factor. It is life which is the center of all activities. Wow. In other words, all these things are there, but it's the life or the consciousness which allows all those things to occur. Similarly, Lord Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is the prime entity in everything. In this body, there are powers of speaking, of seeing, of hearing, or mental activities, etc. But these are not important if not related to the Supreme Lord. And because Vasudeva is all-pervading and everything is Vasudeva, the devotee surrenders in full knowledge. See Bhagavad Gita 7, chapter, text 17, and 11th chapter, text 40. Okay? And let's see if we have time. Yes, we have time. Another important verse. And this refers to those who worship demigods. And for those of you in America and in the Western world who don't come from India or not related with people from India, demigods, yeah, it's hard to relate to them. But demigods, let me explain what demigods are. Demigods are powerful living entities that are given some position by God. Just like here in America, we got a president. We got a president, and some countries the prime minister, and other countries it's a dictator, or whatever, you know, king, So these are all representatives of God that have a higher position than we have. I don't have the position of president. I'm not in charge of the mayor. I'm just whatever, this regular devotee. So these powerful personalities, here we're talking about devatas, are in charge of different aspects of the material creation. They're more than a mayor, more than a governor, more than a president, and some of them are in charge of whole planets, like this one devata, Bhumi, who is in charge of this planet, and some of them are in charge of many planets, and some of them are in charge of different forces. You know, Krishna just empowers people to take certain responsibility because they want to do it. You know, they like controlling, so Krishna gives them that position. So many times, people want to worship these devatas so they can get a similar position, because these devatas have more facility than us, just like someone who has a very high position. Let's say a president or prime minister or something is given a lot of facility. For example, if you're a president of the United States, and I would like you all to be president, or any of you to be president, you do a hell of a, sorry for the French, better job than the present one. But in any case, you're president of the United States, you have your own airplane, and you have several airplanes, you have control of so much. I mean, it's just like, wow, let me worship Krishna to become president. Anyway, so people worship Krishna to want to attain position of the demigods or association or go to higher planets. And then also people worship the demigods. So that's also interesting too. So why would you worship the demigods rather than Krishna? Well, the reason you would worship the demigods is that the demigods being lower, they require less than Krishna requires. Krishna requires surrender, giving your heart to him. Demigods don't require that. They just require bribes. And many times we've talked about how things work or worked in India, how you can get anything you want by giving a little money. And we mentioned one time we were on a bus, and I mentioned this in the previous classes, we were on a bus and we wanted to go down a one-way street of where we weren't supposed to go. And I just told one of the devotees with us to offer, you know, like 100 rupees, which is nothing for us, to one of the police. And the police were glad to let us go. Of course, at the same time, I told all the devotees in the bus who had Western skins to actually duck down so the police wouldn't see us. The reason for that is because the police would want more money then. So many times people want to go to these demigods for material things. And Krishna here is making reference to that in this verse. So, kamaistashta ritajnana prapajantanya devata tam tam yamamastaya prakritja liyata swaya. Kamai, by desires, tai, various. Rita, deprived of jnanaha, knowledge, prapajante, surrender. Anya to other devataha, demigods, tam, corresponding, niyamam, regulations, ashtaya, following, prakritya, by nature, niyata, controlled, swaya, by their own. Translation, those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow their particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. In other words, they want something, they don't want to be Krishna conscious, so they have an easy way, just bribe. Of course, Krishna later says these are abhidhipurvakam, not recommended, not proper. Those who are freed from all material contamination surrender unto the Supreme Lord, engage in his devotional service. As long as the material contamination is not completely washed off, they are by nature non-devotees. In other words, there's some combination of impurities. But even those who have material desires to resort to the Supreme Lord are not so much attracted by external nature because of approaching the right goal, and they soon become free from all material lust. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is recommended that whether one is a pure devotee and is free from all material desires or is full of material desires or desires liberation from material contamination, he should in all cases surrender into Vasudeva and worship him. As stated in the Bhagavatam 2.3.10, and this is a verse I just quoted a few minutes ago, akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo daradi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. Less intelligent people who have lost their spiritual sense take shelter of demigods for immediate fulfillment of material desires. Generally, such people do not go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they are in the lower modes of nature, ignorance and passion, and therefore worship various demigods. Following the rules and regulations of worship, they are satisfied. In fact, some people don't even worship demigods, they worship politicians. You know, make Maya great again. Oh, that's interesting. Make Maya, MMGA. Mga. Mga. Sounds good. So, following the rules and regulations of worship, they are satisfied. The worshippers of demigods are motivated by small desires and do not know how to reach the supreme goal. But a devotee of the Supreme Lord is not misguided, because in Vedic literature there are recommendations for worshipping different gods for different purposes. That is, a diseased man is recommended to worship the sun. Those who are not devotees of the Lord think that for certain purposes demigods are better than the Supreme Lord. But a pure devotee knows that the Supreme Lord Krishna is the master of all. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, 5th chapter, text 142, it is said, Ekala, Ekale, Ishvara, Krishna, Arasabda, Vrija. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is master, and all others are servants. Therefore, a pure devotee never goes to demigods for satisfaction of his material needs. He depends on the Supreme Lord, and a pure devotee is satisfied with whatever he gives. Now, there are some pastimes where pure devotees go to the demigods to get Krishna. And one of those pastimes was enacted by the gopis in Vrindavan. The gopis in Vrindavan were worshipping the goddess of Katyayani. There's this particular vrat or vow called Katyayani vrat. Katyayani, of course, is Durga. And they worship her for a certain time by a certain time of the year, by bathing in the river, even though it's extremely cold, eating very little called Khavisha, just unspiced food, boiled food, like that. And at the end of that, they're supposed to get whatever they want. In fact, many young girls in India do that to attain proper husband. Of course, the best husband is Krishna. So the gopis were doing that. And after they performed this Katyayani vrat, guess who they got? They got Krishna, and Krishna did so many tricks to get them. I mean, he stole their clothes and everything as they were bathing in the rivers. There's a story like that in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the Krishna book. So read that story, and you'll see. But that is an exception, and that is done only by the pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, worship of the demigods is not recommended. It is on the same level of illegality as it is illegal to bribe a policeman. And that's why Krishna later on will read, he says, Avidipurg become this improper path. So on that happy note, we will take some questions. Let's go to questions. All right, give me 1 second to unmute you all. Okay, who has some questions? Okay, Nalini Khan. So, I haven't seen you for a while. Yes, so, what questions do you have?
Gurudev, I have 3 questions. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you very much. Is Dhruva Maharaj's planet bigger than Brahma's kingdom as he was wishing initially?
It's a Vaikuntha planet. As a question, the question is it bigger? Not necessarily bigger, but it's better. You know, it's not that bigger is always better. Sometimes you got better things. You know, sometimes you have like a big old computer, and it's much better to have a small, up to date computer than a big up old computer. Or you have a big old car, which is better, a big old car. or a new Maserati. I don't know if you know what a Maserati is or whatever, race car. So bigger is not better, but it's better because it's a localized Vaikuntha planet, you know. Dhruva Loka, you know, that's pretty good. It's a planet where there's no anxiety. Dhruva Loka. It's the pole star.
So is it presiding deities are Vishnu there?
Yes, Vishnu is always there presiding, yeah.
Second
question, okay.
Janma karma chame divyam. In that verse, do we need to know all the pastimes or does it mean
No, you just need to know that Krishna's pastimes and be convinced that Krishna's pastimes are eternal. And they're spiritual. You need to be completely convinced about that, that any pastime of Krishna is completely spiritual. You cannot know all of Krishna's pastimes because there's unlimited pastimes.
Does it mean being absorbed in the pastimes?
That means basically being convinced, having full faith that Krishna's pastimes are spiritual and completely convinced that Krishna's instructions are the instructions that you're going to follow and completely follow those instructions. That's what it means. Okay, number three.
Can you please explain loyalty in a bit more details with some more examples, Gurudev, please?
Loyalty. Loyalty means that... Did you ever get married? Did you ever marry your wife?
Yes.
That's good. I was afraid you were just boyfriends and girlfriends. But anyway, so loyalty means, at least in America, the marriage ceremony is basically like the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You know, to happiness and distress. I don't know, remember all the words of it because it's not something I get into as a sannyasi. But it's through bad times and good times, you know, through whatever and ever to remain with each other. You know, through Maya and Krishna, through arguments and fights. Of course, they don't say that at the marriage ceremony. Through bad prasadam and good prasadam. So that's one. Of course, another aspect of loyalty, I mean, obviously, it's not just sticking with Krishna, but actually following what Krishna says and following and not committing offenses against Krishna's devotees. I mean, following Krishna's instructions, but trying your best. You know, just like you may have a football team and you may be a loyal fan of a particular football team. Like, I mean, you're a loyal fan of the New Zealand, what, All Blacks or something like that?
No.
No? Why not?
I don't watch any games, Gurudev. Not even anyway, cricket.
They're going to have to change the name of the New Zealand team because it's a very racist name. Isn't it? Like in America, you know, they have one team called the Cleveland Indians. Oh. And because the Americans, the European Americans actually exploited the Indians when they came, so they're going to change the name to the Cleveland whatever. I don't know. Some innocent name that doesn't reflect on any racial or national bigotry. So anyway, being loyal means you just stick to it, having faith and sticking to it, come hell or high water. That's what loyalty means. Isn't it? Just like you're married and you stick with your wife, and I'm sure you've had arguments. Maybe you haven't ever argued with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Never. I'm sure you've never argued with your wife. Anyway, you just stick. And you're loyal to your children are loyal to you, your child is loyal to you. And that's culture, isn't it?
Yes.
We just remain loyal. And we never reject someone. I mean, even even as spiritual master, you know, we have to be loyal to the disciple in the sense that we don't reject people, because they may reject us. That's their problem. But we don't reject. I mean, Prabhupada was like that. So we maintain that loyalty. That's culture. That's culture, loyalty. So if we remain loyal to our promises to Krishna, Krishna appreciates that. You know, we're trying our best. Krishna doesn't expect us to do miracles. Like Prabhupada said, that our consciousness is more or less like a piece of coal, that if you try to wash it, it just gets dirty. So, of course, Krishna can change coal to diamond under the proper pressure. That's true. And Krishna certainly puts us under pressure to change our consciousness like that. But still, you know, we're dependent on the mercy. So if we remain favorable and loyal to Krishna, Krishna will take care of us. In spite of all of our warts, as they say. Isn't it? So that's important. Try your best. It's all Krishna wants. You know, Krishna doesn't look at the quantity of what you're doing. He looks at the quality, and he looks at you sticking to it regardless. Regardless of the situation. Just sticking to Krishna consciousness.
Thank you.
All right. All right, thank you. That's your quota for the week of questions. Anyway, so who else has a question? No one else. All right.
Hello, Gurudev. It's Chitraleka here.
Chitraleka, Hare Krishna. You have a question?
Hare Krishna, yes, accept my obeisances. If one gets to the point when one sees Vasudev everywhere, for example, in this material world, so I see Vasudev in every living or non-living entity. I've always thought that, isn't it risky, like, that we stick to this material world because we're so happy seeing Vasudev, Krishna everywhere. For example, I think in nature, when I see nature, I can feel like, wow, this is Krishna's energy and it's Krishna everywhere in animals. But then mm-hmm. I say this world is very beautiful. Of course, I also wow. see misery and everything else. But isn't there a risk of like getting attached to this world because we see Krishna here?
No, because one is also honest about, like, you see the government and the prison house, but you don't get attached to the prison house. You also, when you see Krishna everywhere, you also see what's happening everywhere. And you see the purpose of what's happening everywhere. And you understand what Krishna wants. And yet, if you understand, this is called teleology. That means the study of purposes. If you understand the purpose of everything, it's part of seeing Krishna everywhere. So what's the purpose of the material world? What's the purpose of the prison house? Then you act accordingly. So it's not only seeing Krishna's connection with everything, but why Krishna or how Krishna connects with everything.
Okay.
You know, there's also a why, how, what, where, when, you know. And I think, as I mentioned many times, the most important question is the why question. You know, why is the material world like this? Why are we suffering? Why are we enjoying? Why are we in this body? What is the purpose of life? Like that. Okay? That's part
Thank
of seeing
you.
Krishna
Thank
everywhere, is to understand. It's not holistic to see Krishna everywhere without understanding why is Krishna everywhere.
Okay.
Or, you know, the purpose of Krishna being there. Okay.
Thank you. We're
going to end. Thank you very much. It's really like that. So we're going to end now. It is time for Krishna. Okay. Yes, Sumukha, what's the question?
Gurudev, I was, you know, Dalini Kanpuru asked this question about 4-9 Janma Karma Chame Divyam. One who knows the transcendental nature of my parents' disappearance does not leave the body, you know. And the requirements for this one is, does you have to become a pure devotee of Krishna to do that?
No. No, you can know that. You can know about Krishna's, you can be convinced about Krishna's transcendental nature without being a pure devotee. That means intelligence. That means you will become a pure devotee. It's not that you janma karma chame devime vinyovi to tatvatam chakwe dehem purna janma naiti mam sarajuna. The one who knows that Krishna's activities and appearance are transcendental will not have to take birth again in this material world. That's not a requirement to be a pure devotee, because that means you will become a pure devotee. One is convinced about it will become a pure devotee, and therefore not take birth again in the material world. Okay?
One more clarification, Guru. What are the activities a devotee should do to come to that stage? Like we wake up in the morning, we have a shower, then we go for dressing the deities, then we come back, then we do our rounds, then we go back to walk, then come back again in the evening.
The most important thing is to hear regularly. Is to hear. That's more important than taking please take a shower. But it's more important than these other external activities, is to hear. Srinvata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyanta Kisto Yabhadrani Vidunati Saritsatam. One should hear about Krishna regularly. And when you hear about Krishna regularly, then the other activities become perfected. You know, the Navabhakti, nine processes of devotional service, beginning with what? Hearing. Prabhupada said because he heard nicely, he could chant nicely. And when you chant nicely, you can remember. So all the other processes are dependent upon hearing. If you are not hearing Bhagavatam regularly, then you will not execute the other processes properly. It's not just work. It's work with the right consciousness. And if you don't work with the right consciousness, if you don't hear regularly, you will not work with the right consciousness. That's important. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Always hear Bhagavatam. All right, we're going to end now. I got things to do. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.